Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching titled, How to Follow God's Will, was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
Moses, he somehow or another knew his lineage. He knew that he was called by God to bring deliverance to the Jews, and he just connected the dots himself and figured that certainly it's his position, his power, his authority, his clout. I mean, it was supernatural that he even survived, but to supernaturally survive in Pharaoh's household, this had to be God. Certainly God was going to use his position and all of his authority, and that's how God was going to do it. He just supposed he understood how God was going to do it. But you know what? God wasn't going to do it in some way that Moses would get the credit and that it would just be his position and that it was a civil war or something that happened within the household of Pharaoh. God was going to do it in a miraculous way, and he was going to bring these plagues. And you know, the Egyptians worshiped so many different things as God, animals and stuff. And if you were to study this out, every plague came on one of their gods. They had a god of the Nile River. He turned the river into blood. They worshiped insects, and he had lice come up out of the dust of the ground. They worshiped frogs, and he had a plague of frogs come on the land. I mean, he just not only devastated the nation, but he also devastated their theology, and God was demonstrating to people who the true God was. The Lord had a way of bringing the children of Israel out miraculously, and it wasn't going to be through military might, and it wasn't going to be in a way that Moses would get the credit. Moses knew what God's will for him was, but he totally missed how God was going to do it. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there are people in the body of Christ by the millions that it's a similar type of thing. They may have stumbled upon what God wants you to do, but you just think, oh God, I can handle it from here. Now I know what you want me to do. What a wise choice you made in choosing me. I can see the wisdom. Man, I am so awesome. I am so talented. You just get me introduced. You put me on the stage and I can take it from here. Man, there's a lot of ministers doing that same thing. God touched them. They have a desire, but then they're going to get up there and they're going to do it in their own power and in their own ability and use their own wisdom. And it's causing tremendous problems in the body of Christ. I mentioned this last night, but God's going to call you to do something that's absolutely beyond your natural ability. He wants to do things in a supernatural, miraculous way so that he gets all of the credit. He wants to use base things of the world, things that are despised, things that are nothing, it says, so that no flesh would glory in his presence. Amen. You know, if you could somehow or another bring your car to a mechanic and he could just put it on a machine, and that machine would automatically diagnose, fix, and everything is just, I mean, you just plug it in and instantly everything's done. Nobody would leave talking about the mechanic. They'd leave talking about that machine. Look what that machine does. But you know what? When you just take your car to somebody that has a wrench in his hand, he's out there under a tree and this guy can fix it. You know what? You are impressed with that person's ability. And God uses people to do things beyond their ability so that people, when they see it, they say, man, that couldn't have been that person. You know, I remember I used to usher at Catherine Kuhlman's meetings, and I don't know if you've ever heard of her or read about her or seen her, but Catherine Kuhlman was weird. She was weird. She was offensive. I was very offended by her, and this woman just turned me off. I did not like Catherine Kuhlman. I didn't enjoy anything about the meeting, but I was an usher, and after I got through ushering, I came and sat on the floor in the very front of the thing so that I could watch her, and she was weird. That's all you can say. She was just weird. The woman wore these flowing gowns with puffy sleeves, and she floated like this and just did. It was just pitiful. And she'd say things like, "Methinks I hear angels," and she'd get weird and spooky, and it was weird. But you know what? I started seeing miracles. I started seeing people that were on stretchers that I had carried in there. that I knew that they were sick and they were running up and down the aisles and jumping out of wheelchairs and miracles were happening. And you know what? When I looked at that, I said, God, this has to be you. That woman didn't do this. I can guarantee you, Catherine Kuhlman didn't get these people healed. This is God. And God is going to call you to do something that's beyond yourself so that when the power of God flows through you, people are going to say, that's God. That's God. Amen. And you know what? God wanted to do something supernatural through Moses, but he made the mistake of thinking, oh God, thank you for revealing your will to me and what a wise choice you made with me. Look at my position. He was probably a great specimen of human strength and stuff, and he was mighty in words and deeds, and he could talk, and he just was really, really impressed with himself. And so he took a word from God and made a paragraph out of it and decided that he would just get it done on his own. Why wait 10 more years? You know, we don't know for sure that he knew the prophecy of Genesis chapter 15, but I suspect he did because the Jews were very diligent at passing on their history and all of these things. And I believe he knew that he was 10 years premature. But here's another logic that we still see operating today. And that is that people see that the Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that you are not supposed to put a novice into a position of leadership. And yet, we see people who are movie stars, athletes, politicians, or somebody who's already got recognition, and they get born again, and we instantly make them the poster child for Christianity, contrary to what the Word says about don't put a novice in a position of leadership. And we do it because we think, oh, they've got all of this clout, and we can use this to help promote the gospel. And so we put people up in front who aren't qualified, they're novices, they aren't seasoned, they don't have the maturity, and we start putting responsibility on them contrary to what God says because we think, but there's so many people dying and going to hell. And look, this athlete, look how many people he influences. And if we wait 10 years until he matures in the Lord, he won't be popular anymore, and we got to take advantage of it right now and do something now. And we constantly violate what Scripture says because of our own reasoning, thinking, oh, but we've got to do something now. You know, Moses could have used this logic. He could have said, God, I know it's still 10 years before the prophecy of Genesis 15 comes to pass. But there, let's just say that there were 100,000 people dying every year. And there's going to be 100,000 Jews die this year praying for deliverance from the oppression of the Egyptians. And if I don't do something, 100,000 Jews are going to die. And if we wait 10 years, then that would be 1 million Jews are going to die during these 10 years with their prayers unanswered. God, we've got to do something now. And we let the need and the desperate situation motivate us to do things contrary to what God instructed us. And I believe probably that's what Moses, he was sitting there seeing these little old grandmas out there that were being worked to death and suffering, and he was seeing this, and he says, God, we can't wait. I know it's still 10 years premature, but we got to do something. But you know what you can't count when you talk about statistics? Is because of Moses' impatience and self-will and self-reliance, Moses was 10 years premature. He blew the whole thing. And he had to go into the wilderness for 40 years, and it cost the children of Israel 30 years extra bondage because the person that God raised up to bring deliverance was still on the backside of the desert trying to learn to do it God's way. And during those 30 years, if you take the same logic, if there was 100,000 people dying every year in slavery during 30 years, then instead of 1 million people that died with their prayers unanswered because he was premature, there was 3 million people who died during those next 30 years that suffered under unnecessary slavery that wasn't God's will, that God would have brought them out if the leader would have just responded and followed God's will. See, when we sit there and think, but, you know, I can't wait. I can't go to Bible school. I can't get prepared. I can't do anything. I've got to do something right now. I've got to get out and start reaching people right now. And you could sit there and say, but there's people dying every day, and I can't just sit there and prepare myself and let them go to hell. What you can't count is how many people are going to go to hell because you got out there and crashed and burned out and became a statistic, a negative statistic, and how many people are you going to turn against the Lord because you at one time were out in front and you messed everything up. You can't count those statistics. There's a right and a wrong way to do things. And see, Moses just ignored the fact. He either was ignorant of, I personally believe that he ignored the fact that there was 10 years left before he was going to start accomplishing what God told him to do. And he just got out in self-willed, decided he would do it on his own. It was time now. You know, he could have used this logic. Well, why did God reveal it to me now if it's 10 years in the future? To prepare him. Did you know, studying people's lives with David, it was a minimum of 13 years. We don't know exactly how long, but from the time he was anointed to be king, it was a minimum of 13 years until he became king. With Paul, it was 14 years. You can go through the Bible, and 10 years preparation would have been the quickest time of any main character in the Bible being prepared and used by God. It would have been the quickest. And plus, I personally believe that if he would have been seeking God, he could have been prepared in the palace, in the lap of luxury, without all of the hardships of the wilderness. Again, the Ten Commandments show, as Moses heads out into the wilderness, the narrator comes on and says, so Moses goes out into the wilderness with scorpions and snakes where prophets are made and starts talking about the hardships and implying that this was God's will to make him the person he was supposed to be. No, God didn't send Moses into the wilderness. Moses went into the wilderness because he had blown the whole thing. He could have stayed in the palace in the lap of luxury and have been prepared.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach through his brand new series titled, How to Follow God's Will. This 5-part series was recorded at our 2010 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1067C for CD or R3211D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RU13C titled Moses Missed God's Timing when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'd like to invite you to join me as a partner of our Gospel Truth ministry. You know, we are reaching the world not only through radio, but also television, DVDs, books, CDs, just every way that we possibly can. We have Bible schools scattered around the world. We are preaching the gospel literally around the world. Over 2.2 billion people can get our broadcast and our materials. And it just takes a lot of money to make all of that happen. So I'd like to invite you to join with me on a monthly basis as our partner. Our announcer is going to give you some information, and I encourage you to pray about it and then call or write today and become a partner with the Gospel Truth.